Our gospel reading this morning is found in John, the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. And Jesus said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue this series on a purpose-driven life, and we're looking at fellowship formed for God's family. And first, I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these two brothers who were very wealthy, and they were really downright evil. They did lots of bad things, and one of them passed away. And so the other brother went to the pastor and said, "Listen, I'll make a large donation to the church if during the funeral service you'll say, my brother was a saint." And the pastor thought about it for a moment. He said, okay. And then the brother made a large donation to the church. And then during the funeral service, the pastor said, "This man was evil. He lied. He cheated. He stole. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Well, you know, one of the great things about family is they know who we are and they still love us. Amen? And that was a weak amen. But anyway, it's true. And we've been looking at this purpose-driven life, and whether or not you're reading the book, it's a great series. I do encourage you to read the book because I think there's some great themes in it. But we looked at week number one is, what on earth am I here for? And then week number two, we looked at worship. Of course, the Wednesday evening services have folded in with this. And last week, we looked at worship, discover the power for living. And then this week, fellowship, you were formed for God's family as a purpose for our life. And if you think about it for a moment, I mean, before even the creation of the world, there was a family, which is, we think about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit being together. And we think it from the foundations of creation that God formed a family, and family was ordained. Now, it's also important to realize that even from the start, families had their issues, their difficulties, right? So families aren't perfect, but they're part of God's plan for our life. And the family of faith is also a part of God's purposes for our life. And so think about, I don't know if anyone watched the Purdue game last night, any Purdue fans out there? So much easier to be a fan of Purdue during basketball season. So we have hopes for the football season as well. But I think one of the reasons we love sports is that we feel like we're a family. I don't see a lot of black and gold, but I had mine on last night, and it was a great game. Great to see him win, of course. But even if you lose, you know, when you're there, you feel like you're part of a bigger family. You're part of the Purdue family. And for me, I grew up in the Pittsburgh area, and we were all Steelers fans. And so there's this great time being in the Pittsburgh stadium, and if the Steelers, and it's raining snow, and maybe they lose, and they start singing, "We Are Family," and then you just feel all these goosebumps, and you feel like there's something bigger than that. But the church is even something better and bigger, we hope, and even deeper. And Rick Warren has this beautiful phrase, God didn't just call you to believe, but to belong. And so fellowship is part of the purposes that God has for our life to strengthen and empower us. And the biblical term for fellowship is a special, unique term, which is koinonia. And in fact, our college group chose that as their name for their fellowship group. And it really means a deep fellowship. It's not just a bunch of guys in a boat, right? So fellowship. I know that was weak, but if you think about our life, Jesus gave this great illustration in John where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And I think when you think about that illustration and that image, it isn't just because we're connected to Jesus as the source and strength of our faith. That's true, but we're also interconnected as branches. For a lot of us, it's a lot more comfortable to think about being connected to Jesus than about being interconnected with each other, right? Because as a family of faith, just like a regular family, we have some differences, and sometimes we upset each other. We believe a little differently than each other, or we get on each other's nerves, or sometimes we're not the best people to each other. But Jesus said this about the mark of being part of a family of faith, not that we believed all the same, we had perfect theology, and we had the best buildings, but Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another." And I think that's important to, in a season of Lent, to call ourselves to a deeper level of fellowship. And I mentioned before, but I still like this illustration that really there's four F's for fellowship. We think about friendship, we think about family, we think about faith, and of course we think about food. And for a lot of people, food's the best. We have a lot of food around here. But I want to start and think about family first, and I think that's really the most important imagery of all this, that we're a family of faith. And sometimes church sounds, even the word sounds a little impersonal. And church in the Bible really didn't mean a building. Church meant the people of God, the family of faith. And Paul uses this, he actually sort of uses family in this. He says this in 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15 that Steve read earlier. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, God's family, so the church can be the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. In other words, you need to be a family to be a part of the church of the living God and part of the foundation for which God is building everything on. Now, being part of a family is not always easy. I guess I won't have you say amen because I know that you're here with family. But sometimes when we think about family, we think, well, everybody's the same. But the truth is we have similar family characteristics, but we're not all the same. We don't look exactly the same. We don't believe exactly the same. And if you're like me, you know, for my family reunion, anybody have any weird people in your family? I know none of them are in this building, but for my family, and we have everybody. I mean, we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have Tea Party, Libertarians. I mean, the only thing we really agree on is Pittsburgh Steelers football, to be honest with you. And around the Thanksgiving dinner, as a young kid, you'd see these discussions hit politics, you know what I'm saying? And it'd get really tense. And then all of a sudden, someone would say, hey, how about those Steelers? And everybody, oh, yeah. So it was like, you know, the saving kind of grace. And even this week, Savannah gets to choose our movies, and I'm not always in favor of the movies. Or, you know, not bad movies, they're just maybe not ones I wanted to see. And this weekend, it was shark movies. And like, I really don't, I'm a diver, so, you know, like, shark movies really aren't the best thing for me. So, and she not only wanted to see one shark movie, she wanted to see two shark movies. And I said, the second shark movie, really? Two shark movies in the same weekend? It isn't even Jaws, these other ones. So, but, you know, the interesting things about this, one was based on a true story, which is you have these people that are fighting and bickering with each other, and then all of a sudden the shark comes along, and they're all friends. They're all best of friends, you know what I'm saying? They're all kind of going for each other. I think that when we face adversity and difficulty, as a family, we come together in a powerful way. And you think about your own family, I mean, sometimes you might be arguing about something, but if someone comes against your family, or there's an adversity or difficulty, there's someone in the hospital, and all of a sudden, family's there. They come together in a great way. And I think as a church, we're not called to be uniform, we're called to unity. We're not called to all be the same. We're called to be united, and we're united around Christ as the center of our faith and the center of our fellowship. And John Wesley has this great statement that I love. In non-essentials, diversity. In essentials, unity. And in all things, diversity. In non-essentials, diversity. In essentials, unity. And in all things, charity. In other words, let us unite around the things that are central, faith in Christ, in our life, and the love of Christ. And then the other things, let them find their place. Let's have respect for each other. Let's agree to disagree in some cases. And then in all things, let us have charity and love for one another. And I think that's so important. Rick Warren said this, and I like this, and I was pointing out with the Wednesday night group too. The best use of life is love. The best expression of time is love. And the best time to love is now. Love for Christ is the center of our life as a family of faith. And I love the Live Life to This carpool karaoke video. If you were here Wednesday night, that was just great with Clay's car, and they were all getting in and they had it all put together. But it's a beautiful thing. And I think, you know, as we are really a family of faith and we become the light that Jesus wants us to be in the world, and people see that family and people want that, because there's a lot of difficulty and adversity that we face in the world, but as a family of faith, then there's something special about our fellowship. The second thing is food, and I know there's a lot of amens out there for food, but you think about families, one of the things you think about, if you're like me, is you think about those great family occasions when you've been together. You think about Easter dinner, and we think about Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner and maybe just Sunday dinner, the things that call us together. And I think as a family of faith, we think about how important food is. And of course, we eat great at this church. It's just fabulous. And I'm looking forward to Easter brunch and all those. The Wednesday night dinners have been great, even though it's sort of a light dinner. But it's great to come around the table. And I think that one of the reasons that's great is because when we come around the table together, we don't just share food. We share life. We fellowship. It's not just sharing a meal, but it's sharing life together. And we think of how burdens are divided and joys are multiplied in our life when we come around a table. And you think about some of the occasions that are most important in our life and joyous or difficult. We think about weddings and we think about funerals and how the meal is such an important part. And it isn't just the food. In fact, the more important thing is how we begin to share life and celebration. Sometimes we share tears and we share hugs, but we get through life together because we come around a meal. And you think in the Bible how the Last Supper was such an important part, and it's so important that we put the Last Supper as something that's a central part of our worship, where we remember Christ and we're empowered by God's Spirit. And I think it's important to remember that the Last Supper is not just the Last Supper, but Jesus promised it would also be the First Supper. the First Supper will be one day come together with all the saints in God's heavenly home, and we're reunited together, and that's the thing that we celebrate first, like a great homecoming banquet or homecoming feast, and that's an important part of our life. It says in Acts 2:42, in the very first days of the church, that daily the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowships, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Daily, they devoted themselves, and so they were breaking the bread and sharing in fellowship and teaching and prayer, and so that ought to be a mark of our lives as well. And so we think about how it's a regular pattern that we need to eat food, and it's a regular pattern that we share spiritual food together. And so we're called to be a family, and fellowship is about food, but it's more than sharing food. It's sharing life together as we embrace one another in life. And then the third thing is to think about sharing friendship together. And I love Tamara's series on the 12 disciples. Because, you know, Jesus didn't just come as the Messiah himself. He got 12 disciples around him that would carry on the teaching. It was the beginning of the church. And that group of 12 disciples had been through a lot together with Jesus. And they went through their ups and downs, hills and valleys, traveled with Jesus. They ate together, and they made their tents together at night, and they faced adversity together. And I think it's an image of the church that we are disciples together. We travel the road of life together, and so they were great friends. And Jesus even said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because a master doesn't tell his servants what he's going to do, but friend makes all things known. And Jesus said, I've made all things known to you. You were my disciples, and I've shared all these deep things with you. And I love the way that Rick Warren puts that. God doesn't just call you to believe, but to belong. And so as a family of faith, we're supposed to be friends, deep friends. You know, there's friends that you just see at school or work, whatever, high, whatever. But then there's deep friends. And someone wants to find a friend as the person who walks in when everyone else walks out. And as a family of faith, we're called to a deep friendship that is greater than anything else in life. And I think as we go through the difficulties in life, sometimes they strengthen us more than just the joys in life. And so what kind of a friend are you today to others in the family of faith? And how open are we? And one of the things you think about is the bracketology that everybody looks at, right? You know, I don't know if you've picked where you are in the Sweet 16 in your picks, but if you just sort of look at what's the winning record of a team or how good some of the individual players are, and you sort of do your bracket that way, you know, it never works out that way. And the experts never get it right. Because one of the unknowns, one of the intangibles is how well the team plays, particularly on that day. It isn't just the individual players, it's they're all coming together. And so the term for that is synergy. They use it in biology and physics and all kinds of things. But in the human family, it really means that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Because there's something intangible with the way people play together and work together. Certainly in sports, we see it very clearly. You know, there's a great day where everybody's getting along, and if they're fighting, you can have all these great players, but they may not win the game because they're not working together. And the same is true as a family of faith. There's something bigger than the individual parts of us as we come together as a family of faith, and we really grow together. And this is what the writer of Ecclesiastes says, one of the great books of wisdom. It says, two are better than one because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the person who falls down and has no one to pick him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So God calls us to a deep kind of friendship. And then family is also about faith. Fellowship is about faith. And think about in the Bible, there's 59 times where the term one another is used. And the two most common are to love one another and to encourage one another. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, 13 and 14. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Hey, every day is called today. So there's sort of a pun there. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We come to share Christ if we are a family of faith still. The term for Holy Spirit in the Bible is often used is paraclete in the Greek, and it means to come alongside, the comforter and encourager. And in fact, that's the term that Paul uses and others use to challenge us to encourage one another each and every day. It says this in Colossians 3:13. Listen to that one another phrase. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. And then Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 10-11. He died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may be together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you were doing. In other words, to encourage each other, to love each other, to forgive each other, to have mercy, makes us a deeper family and calls us to the kind of family that God wants us to be. One of the things that I encourage people to do in their faith is to be part of small group Bible studies. And the reason for that is that it's great to come together as a family, but when we really want to get personal and share, sometimes we need a smaller group. And so that small group Bible study isn't just to study the Bible, it's also to share life together and to be able to pray for one another. And so in closing, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And so what can we do? I want to just ask you to think about what level are you in the family of faith, and what can you do about that? And I want to challenge each of us to a deeper level than part of the family of faith. Think for a moment. Level number one is membership. You can choose to belong. That's a decision. Now, you can come as just sort of attend, but you can also choose to belong. And of course, we're going to have a membership class just after Easter, and you'll be part of that. But there's also a deeper part of membership that's important, too. And level two is friendship, is learning to share. One of the most important things that people do is to learn to share. And so you can come and worship, but it takes a little effort to get to know each other and to have a deep kind of friendship. And it says in Acts 2:44, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. They learned to share. And then level number three is partnership. It's doing your part and sharing and being part of the family of faith. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are partners working together for God. And then level number four is kinship, is loving each other, believing in each other like a really true family. And it says they were all like family to each other in Acts 2:42. Are we the kind of family that God wants us to be? Think about that. The kind of parts of friendship, we think about family, we think about food, we think about fellowship and faith, and then choosing to belong and choose to share and choose to do our part and choose to love believers like a family. I'm going to close with this story. True illustration. I don't know if anyone's read Tuesdays with Maury. It's a great, beautiful book, and Mitch Albom was this great, talented writer, and he got caught in his career like a lot of people do, like sort of you get caught up with success, and so it caused a lot of family problems. It caused him to have a divorce, and his life was in shambles. And then he found out that his old professor, his favorite professor from school by the name of Maury, was sick. In fact, he had cancer and he was going to die. And so he went and saw him, and they decided what they would do was they would spend Tuesdays together. They kind of share life going through this. And then at one point, towards the end, Maury shared this great illustration about family. And I just want to read what he read because I think it's beautiful. He said, "I think in light of what we've been talking about all these weeks, family becomes even more important. The fact is there is no foundation, no secure ground upon which people may stand today if it's not family. It's become quite clear to me as I've been sick. If you don't have the support and love and caring and concern that you get from a family, you don't have much at all. Love is so supremely important. As our great poet Auden said, love each other or perish. Love each other or perish." I wrote that down. Auden said that? Yes, Maury said, love each other or perish. It's good, no? And it's so true. Without love, we are birds with broken wings. Say if I was divorced or living alone or had no children, this disease, what I'm going through, would be so much harder. I'm not sure I could do it. Sure, people would come to visit, friends, associates, but it's not the same as having someone who will not leave. It's not the same as having someone with whom you know has an eye on you, is watching out for you the whole time. This is part of what family is all about. Not just love, but letting each other know there's someone who is watching out for them. It's what I missed so much when my mother died. What I call your spiritual security, knowing that your family will be there watching out for you. Nothing else will give you that. Not money, not fame. And he shot me a look. Not work, he added. Isn't that true? Family is a deep part of who we are. And you and I, whatever our families are like, sometimes they're broken and we can work towards healing. But you and I are called to be a family of faith. And that's such a most important part of what we do as disciples and coming together as a church of Jesus Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you that you've not only called to us to believe, but also to belong to a family of faith. And of course, like every family, we're imperfect, but you've also called us to forgive and to love and to have mercy and to grow together, to share life together. And so help us, like the disciples journeying with Jesus, to put you at the center of our faith and life, Help us to reach out as a family and to join hands together and to forgive and to grow and to learn and to share and to encourage one another, to love one another, to bless each other. Help us each and every day to love you as the center of our life and to bless one another. We pray all this through the strength and power of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.